Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, we've got Aki and Bree here. How are you two doing?
Great. Great.
My house is now fully insulated. I have a great hot water heater. Everything's just coming up. Aki.
All right. Nice. I just had a good day today.
Oh, very good.
What'd you do today? What was good?
I got back to stream today. I've not been able to stream on Fridays for a little while because life's been getting in the way. And I just had a really good time playing some games that I'll be talking about next week on the show.
How's that for a tease?
I know, right?
Got my copy of the show 24 in today, so I'm happy.
Nice.
I fired it up and played it, and the servers are down, so that's awesome.
Oh, no!
Sounds about right for you, yeah?
I mean, at least I could play it. I just can't get all my bonus content yet.
Oh, I'm glad. I figured since they weren't up, I figured you wouldn't be able to play it or something.
Well, you could still play like offline games, but I earned a bunch of achievements in my first game.
Oh, hell yeah. That's nice. What we're talking about, yo.
Yeah, it was all like fun stuff too. Like, there's only a batter on second, get an RBI double, and it's called like trading places. That's a cool achievement.
Yeah.
So basically, the guy on second runs home, and the guy on home runs to second. So they're trading places.
Okay.
That's an achievement. That, I saw that pop. I'm like, that's cool. I appreciate that.
The real question is, because since that achievement exists, is there one for having fully loaded bases and getting them all to home?
Probably there have been in previous games, but I missed out on my shot at a Grand Slam when I was playing. So I can't answer that one yet. I did get one for a triple, though.
So is a Grand Slam just the three that are already on the base, or is the Grand Slam
Grand Slam is a home run for all four, yeah.
Awesome.
Otherwise, it's just a three RBI triple.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's RBI mean?
Runners batted in.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. And then I found out that I have a game that's apparently worth like $300 that I'm going to try flipping online.
Very nice.
Aki, I showed you the pictures of
it. Yeah, that's a very nice statue.
The X-Blades Royal Edition. Have you heard of that?
Nope.
Have you heard of the game X-Blades?
Yes.
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Basically, it's that, the game with a soundtrack. A boring flat mouse pad, no booby mouse pad. It was disappointing. A strategy guide in German and English. What else was in there? The figurine. Steelbook. Nope, no steelbook. This was before steelbooks were really popular. So.
Oh, it looked like there was a metal one in that picture you showed me. Interesting. Okay.
No, nothing metal in there. And then an art book that surprisingly contains nudity.
Ooh.
Full frontal rat.
Yeah, it's pretty, I was shocked when I saw it, because the box is still just rated 12, because it's a PAL import.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting boobs in a 12 game.
Yeah.
But I guess bonus content is not rated.
Nope.
Oh, that's fair. I didn't even think of it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, that game is very boobylicious from what I understand.
Yeah, it's 8:01 and he's not here, so fuck him. Do you want to get in the news?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go.
Always trust Jacob to be fucking late, even when he's given extra fucking time.
Ow. Like, oh my god. 8:02? Yeah, he's late. Big news of the week. Embracer Group has entered into an agreement to sell Saber Interactive to a company called Beacon Interactive, which is a company controlled by Saber co-founder Matthew Karch.
Hmm.
Saber is getting away from Embracer. The price of the transaction is $500 million. It includes all Saber branded studios, Digic, Fractured Bytes, Madhead Games, New World Interactive, Nimble Giant Entertainment, Sandbox Strategies, which is a PR company that we work with, Slipgate Ironworks, Stuntworks, 3D Realms, 4A Studio, and Zen Studios.
Hmm.
Yep.
That's a all lot of those. Stuff.
Unfortunately, goodness. There's a couple that it does not include. That includes 34 Big Things, Aspire, Beamdog, Demiurge, Shiver, Snapshot Games, Tripwire Interactive, Tuxedo Labs. Those will remain with Embracer and be integrated into other parts of the company in the coming months. Hmm. Saber's purchase of 4A does not include the Metro license.
Damn it.
So Saber has the Metro makers, but not the Metro license. So maybe that we'll blows. See a spiritual successor.
Yeah.
Timber saying, I thought someone said it did. It's possible that the terms may have changed since I last read. I know initially 4A and Zen weren't included in the sale, but it was later confirmed that they followed through on an option to acquire those two as well, which is what bumped the price up to $500.
Okay.
So more information is coming out. It's possible that the Metro license was included, but I didn't see any update.
Right.
What do you think? Is Saber headed in a good direction? You think this is a bright new future for the company?
I mean, getting away from Embracer seems like a safe idea nowadays.
Yeah. Anything is better than being stuck there and getting fired. So.
Yeah. It's a scary climate right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you buy like 500 different dev companies, create very few games, and then failed to make a deal that everything was riding on.
They didn't make very few games. They crank out a lot of games.
Not enough.
I think they've canceled more than they've been releasing, unfortunately.
As of late, that's what I've heard, which is a shame, because I'm sure some of those would have been really fucking good games.
Yeah,
I don't know. Speaking of good games, the PlayStation Plus game catalog for March has been revealed. There's a lot of good stuff in this month's lineup. These are basically the PlayStation Plus rental service, similar to Game Pass. These aren't the monthly freebies. So this is just the game catalog. NBA 2K24, Marvel's Midnight Suns, Resident Evil 3.
Okay.
Lego DC Supervillains. I think that's a good one.
Oh, I like that one.
Mystic Pillars. I don't know much about that one, but it looks really interesting.
Never heard of it.
I think it's a PS5 exclusive puzzle game.
Oh, I bet that's good.
Yeah. Blood Bowl 3.
Okay.
Super Neptunia RPG. That's a good one.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then the PS5 version of Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. The PS4 version was already in the catalog, so I get the upgraded version. And then the classics are pretty good this month, too, with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, All-Star Battle R, and Phoenix Wright Trilogy for the PS4, which I don't think those should count, but fucking whatever. And then Cool Borders from PS1.
Never heard of that one.
Basically, Sony's snowboarding game.
Oh, I figured it was going to be a surfing game.
Nope.
Okay.
Close. Cool.
I thought cool as in, oh, you're a cool person or something. I thought since it was PS1,
Thank you.
That was something. You know what? Yeah, you can take that. That works. I accept that. You're not Jacob. You can have that one.
God Eater Burst from the PSP.
Ooh, nice.
And then Jak and Daxter, The Lost Frontier from the PSP. So some good stuff popping up over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, both of them had a lot of good stuff. There was only a couple that were like, whatever. But most of them were like, those are really good games.
Yeah. Something that will not be showing up on the PlayStation is a trailer leaked out for Spider-Man The Great Web, which is believed to have been a 5-player online co-op Spider-Man game developed by Insomniac, but canceled by Sony. There's talks that the content may be potentially being shifted to DLC for Spider-Man 2, but it looks like the standalone game has been scrapped.
It's always weird when they have the weird fucking numbers. Why 5-player co-op? That's like, I would understand 4 because that's just the common 5. What?
I don't know.
Why 5? That's so weird. Though I would have liked to have seen something like that, because the more Spider-Mans in a game, the better the Spider-Mans.
It's disappointing that it got canceled, but I guess that's part of Sony's shift away from live service, which is good. We need to shift away from live service.
Yes, please.
Yeah, not just Sony.
Not shifting away Everyone from live does. Service is Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yeah.
Well, man, you know, this company, man.
Eventually, there will be enough failures that maybe they'll get a fucking clue one day, sometime, maybe, possibly, we'll find out.
No.
Probably not. No.
No.
They have to learn eventually, because otherwise they're going to fail. Well, and not just that game, they're going to close. Money. Well, yeah, I guess there are whales out there.
Yeah.
Some more crap news with Warner Brothers Discovery is that they're delisting all games published by Adult Swim Games in the coming months. Devs were told they could be gone within 60 days. WB made the universal decision to not transfer games back to the devs, and they claim they do not have the resources to do so. Developer pointed out that it's basically you got to fill out a form with 3 clicks and that's it. Mm-hmm. And WB was like, yeah, but then we would have to do that for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, heaven forbid the super rich company that has tons of workers set aside, like, I don't know, an hour of one person's fucking day to get some shit done. Oh, heaven forbid that.
Yeah.
Fucking jackasses.
Yeah. There's actually one of those I want to pick up.
Which one?
Which one?
Westerado. I started it, I think, at a friend's house, and or if it was on Game Pass or something. And yep, gotta grab it.
I think they said there's 5 games from Adult Swim that are on Xbox. Clearly more on Steam and on other platforms as well. There's some titles. So if there's anything you want to get and it's from Adult Swim Games, grab it now, because you might not have a chance to grab it in the future.
Yeah. Yep.
And one of those is Ghost Song, folks. So, you know, go get that.
There you go.
I liked Headlander.
Headlander was cool.
Yeah, I have that one.
That one was unique.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Rise and Shine's on that list, too. Holy shit.
Drop it, bits! Lloyd, thank you for the 234 bits. Thank you for coming in, hanging out, dropping bitties for Jacob's titties. But he's not here, so
it's your titties instead. We're sorry.
Oh,
you'll have to make do with Joe,
buddy. Thank you, Lloyd. Always appreciate you hanging out. Something that I do not appreciate is Deviation Games is shutting down. It was formed in 2020, had 100 employees by 2021, was backed by Sony to create an original IP for Sony. Then they closed.
Well, that sucks.
Yeah, there's rumors that Sony hired away a bunch of the people from the company to work on a new SOCOM game. I don't know how true any of that is, but it's kind of shitty for the rest of the people at the company.
did the company actually manage to get anything out before they were shuttered?
Nope.
That fucking sucks.
They were gonna do an original AAA IP for Sony.
I guess that'll teach you.
Yeah. Speaking of AAA, Empty Vessel is a brand new AAA studio based in Austin, Texas, made up of staff who've worked on Doom, Quake, Call of Duty, Last of Us, Borderlands, Tomb Raider, and more. They are planning to make, quote, an immersive shooter.
Okay. That's vague.
I already have no interest.
Yeah.
It's like, look at all these big people we hired. We're going to make a AAA game with no games in our history. Like, how many companies have come to make a AAA right off the bat and they have failed?
Yeah. I have
no idea.
I mean, I think the most recent example I could think of is Callisto Protocol. That was a pretty big flop for a supposed brand new AAA studio.
Yeah.
It sucks. That was a flop. I really liked that game.
Yeah.
Multiverses is set for a relaunch on May 28th. Seems kind of far away, but, you know, whatever.
I mean, good on them for bringing it back, I guess.
Yeah, I didn't think they would.
I was on the fence about whether or not it would come back, which is why I didn't jump into it in the early days, just in case I couldn't get it done.
That's fair. NBA 2K24, we talked about it on PlayStation Plus. It also joined Game Pass on March 11th.
Nice.
Yeah. Word is it will be there for 6 months. So right up until the next NBA game comes out. Then you gotta you lose the free candy and you gotta buy the new stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds about right.
I don't blame them. It gets sales. So, and then good news, Ni No Kuni is not leaving Game Pass.
Yes.
Yeah,
it is sticking around.
Very nice.
Hell yeah. Let's see here. A PC version of Final Fantasy 16 is supposedly in the final stages of optimization and could possibly be announced in the coming weeks or months. Still nothing on Xbox.
It's never coming to Xbox. I've given the fuck up on any of that shit ever happening.
I think we have a shot at 16.
Well, you're a hell of a lot more hopeful than I am. Yeah. I gave up my hopes when it came to fucking Final Fantasy 7 and the Rat Bastards.
7 I've given up on.
Yeah. 7
I've given up on. Just give us the fucking pixel remasters.
Pixel remasters, yeah.
Give us the goddamn pixel remasters. I want to play Final Fantasy 6 on my Xbox.
See, I'm more interested in the newer ones, so I'm the one SOL. Because I still think the pixels could possibly come to Xbox.
I hope they do.
Like, I would believe that would happen well before Final Fantasy VII Remake. Just so upsetting.
Something exciting that is coming to Xbox and PlayStation, Grandia HD Collection.
Yes.
Very nice.
March 26th, so right around the corner.
Nice. That is right around the corner.
I'm thrilled about that one.
Keep banana.
Yeah.
That's one of the few things I actually bought on the Switch because I didn't think it would come anywhere else.
Fair.
Oh, yeah. I think it was $40 on the Switch, so it's probably going to be that price on Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess prepare for that price. It's cheaper, cool, but even still, two great RPGs for $40. I'm down. Yeah. And then the last bit of news I have is some Nintendo news. Paper Mario the Thousand Year Door is hitting Switch on May 23rd. Luigi's Mansion 2 is hitting the Switch on June 27th. And then the Nintendo Switch Online Game Boy update for March 12th included Dr. Mario, Mario Golf Game Boy Color, and Mario Tennis Game Boy Color.
Very nice. Right.
Yeah. That's my news. Aki, what kind of news do you got?
A lot of fucking nothing, as you might have expected if you knew me at all, which apparently you still don't somehow.
Hey, a broken clock is right twice a day, so maybe one of these weeks you'll have something.
I mean, I think you're the broken clock in this one.
My misplaced optimism is a...
Yeah, I'm like a toaster that you for some reason think is a clock. It's not working, buddy. Sorry.
You're the clock on the VCR flashing 12.
Exactly. And then when it hits 12, it just turns the fuck off.
Bree, what kind of news do you have?
Let's see. We had a game that was coming to Game Pass. Is no longer. It's called Erebon Shadow Legacy. It was supposed to be coming to Game Pass day one, but they had a change in publisher, and apparently that deal is off now.
Ooh.
Well, that's
that sucks.
Yeah. I'm not sure if it will eventually come to Game Pass or something else, but yeah. Earlier this week, Sea of Thieves was the number one pre-order on PlayStation.
Yeah, I heard about that. That's really cool.
I don't know if it still is. There's two different versions of the game. There's a deluxe edition and the regular edition, and the deluxe edition is outselling the base game. So I'm pretty excited to see a lot of new people on the seas soon. I know it's not till April, but yeah. And then my other bit of news was my Jacob Bay Disney Dreamlight Valley game devs are partnering with Wizards of the Coast on a new Dungeons & Dragons action RPG set in the Forgotten Realms. The RPG should have life sim and survival elements along with co-op action, and it's expected to release in 2026.
Okay, you've got my attention. I might have to actually follow this.
Yeah. I don't know that there was a name for it yet, but
I was excited cool. Until I heard there were survival elements and like life sim. Yeah. Like just give me a new D&D RPG, hack and slash.
Yeah.
I don't need the life sim stuff. But just
imagine D&D Dreamlight Valley, and that's that's where I guess the survival and the life sim stuff kind of comes in. So yeah, I'm interested to see
what the potential would be. Really cool. I'll say that
it does. Yeah,
this is how you get me into those types of fucking games that ruin everyone's lives. This is how you do it. D&Dify it. There you go. I am so fucked.
Thimber saying Squirrel with a Gun is coming to Xbox.
Ooh,
there's some news. I know there was an indie showcase today, and I completely missed it.
Oh, I did too.
I didn't know there was one, or else I wouldn't have missed
it. 60 new games or something, so we didn't. There's no way in hell we could have covered that whole thing anyway. But
yeah, we could have.
I'll look that up and check that out after.
Yeah, if you find a link to the video, just pass it to me so I can look at it because I'm lazy.
Gorge on it.
Nom, nom, nom. Yeah, then I'll have a bunch of games that I'll tell Joe, hey, get me list. It's been a while since I've done that to Joe, so
yeah.
It'll be fun.
And I know what Aki wants the most, and I still haven't heard back on my email for it. So,
oh no,
I'm just warning you.
I assume it's the one that I just sent you. Yep.
Yeah, I've got like 3 games on my list I'm going to send you, and you already know like 2 of them if you've been paying attention at all. So, yeah, maybe you know all 3. I don't know. Yeah,
I wonder if it's any of them that are also on my list.
I don't pay attention at all.
So. I'm happy to fight for him. Jelly wrestling.
All right. <let's Jesus. go. laughs>
That'll be our first live Twitch stream. Featuring more than just it, my face.
But I'm doing it in the Ewok costume.
Yes.
I accept that. 'Cause that should be a good laugh. I still need to see you in that full costume, by the way. Next time you wear that, let me know.
Because you might pull my whole head off. It would be terrible.
Oh, so any other news? Anything anyone else wants to talk about? Jacob's not here, so I don't know what... Like, we delayed the show to Friday to make up for the fact that he was in New York all week, and he's still missing the show.
Why is he in New York? What the fuck?
His job had him go up to New York for the week, so...
Ah,
he sang karaoke. He sent me a video.
And you still have the use of your ears. Okay, that's impressive.
He did the rap in Clint Eastwood.
All right, awesome. I can appreciate that.
Yeah, it went about as well as you could expect. Nah, he did a pretty good job. It was fun. Karaoke's always fun. So, yeah. Anything else?
No, that's all I had for news.
Are we really just diving into reviews this quick?
I guess.
Yeah, when Jacob's not here to fuck about and derail us constantly, we get through shit quickly. Shocker.
Man, I don't know what to do.
Blame Jacob. I wish the show servers would
fucking work. That annoys me. I feel like I won one battle because yesterday I checked my Best Buy account and it was like shipping tomorrow. I'm like, oh, fuck no. This releases tomorrow. You are not shipping this tomorrow. And I rose hell on Twitter and with like their chat support, and they shipped it yesterday and it got to me today. The servers are down. You motherfucker.
I don't understand. So many places are like, yes, you'll have your game by the day it comes out. And then they're like, oh no, we're going to ship it that day. That's not what any of you have ever said in the history of ever. What the fuck are you doing? Because I keep hearing stories of this constantly.
Yeah,
and the worst is on Friday releases. But all of them tell you they'll get it by the release date.
On a Tuesday release, you could get it on Wednesday. And it's like, oh, well, you missed out on a day. On a Friday release, you don't get that shit until Monday.
Yeah.
You should have it for the Friday release. That is what they tell you that you're going to have it. And that's making me so mad. Oh.
Timber, did anyone catch the new Steam hit Supermarket Simulator?
I heard it existed, but I haven't seen any of it yet. I still need to get caught up on some of this stuff.
Papa Bruno asking about an SMT tabletop RPG. Is that Shin Megami? tabletop RPG. I wonder if Purnell heard about that.
Welcome to being late.
Oh, it was going to be ladies' night all the rest of the whole show, and nope. Dicks.
Well, we tend to ruin everything.
I agree.
Oh, Jacob, how are you doing? How is New York?
It was okay.
A half hour late, right?
Yeah, Aki, I'm fucking aware.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, I'm fucking aware that I'm half an hour fucking late to this shit.
Not quite. Right?
I had shit to deal with.
How was New York?
It was all right. I was there for work. I didn't really get to do any sightseeing or anything like that. Although, interestingly enough, the Lego store in New York City was actually only like a couple blocks from my hotel. I didn't get to go, but I did get to see it from the outside from my taxi cab at one point. And interestingly enough, in Lego, what the fuck is it called? The one with Chase McCain, the cop guy.
Lego City Undercover?
Yeah, Lego City Undercover. There is a Lego store that is that you can find in the city. And as it turns out, the exterior is actually based on the one in New York City.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really interesting. I also found it kind of weird that I was just like, oh yeah, I recognize that building. Like, from a fucking Lego game. Makes sense, though.
Teaches you things. You learn things playing Lego games, I guess.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. So
what else is going on in your neck of the woods?
This is not what I had planned, but...
Yeah, shit happens. Literally, but I'm...
Yeah, I don't know.
You have any news you want to talk about?
I have no idea what the fuck went on in the world of video games this week. I've literally just been up in New York City dealing with work shit and family shit. So, yeah.
Well, good. We've finished news then. We can go straight into reviews. This is awesome.
Are we? Anything else you want to talk about, Jacob?
No.
We had our moments earlier, so.
Yeah, we've already gone through all the news already. Already scraping.
I literally have no idea what else is. I literally don't know what's going on. The only news I knew about was that they say like Star Wars Battlefront Collection, which is something we did not receive from Aspyr. Apparently, the online multiplayer is absolute shit. So,
and there's broken achievements.
Cool. Even better. Even better.
Always fun.
So, yeah.
They had one job. One simple job.
Womp womp.
I mean, these are also the folks that decided that they were going to rebuild Knights of the Old Republic from the ground up. So, I'm not surprised.
Good thing they're still with Embracer.
Damn.
Poor Aspyr, they're just getting shit on so much lately. I feel bad for them. Like, they're trying. They're not the biggest studio in the world. They're making an effort. They're doing their best. Just they're fucking up a lot.
Well, what else? I mean, there's Knights of the Old Republic and Battlefront Collection. What else have they been fucking up lately?
The KOTOR 2 Switch release where they promised the DLC. And then months later, they were like, oh, yeah, we can't.
I thought that was a while ago, though.
It's still one of their dings against them.
Fair, I guess.
Yeah. But anyway, should we dive into reviews? Should we get these?
Let's go.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is called Stalker Legends of the Zone Trilogy, more specifically Stalker Clear Sky. Developed and published by GSC Game World. The three titles released March 6th on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99 each or $39.99 for the trilogy. Stalker Clear Sky, Great Emission, the biggest anomalous and energy blowout from the times of second incident at the Chernobyl nuclear power plant, has shaken the world again and reshaped the zone. To investigate its cause and prevent future cataclysms is your only chance to survive. Stalker Clear Sky. Aki, you're covering this trilogy. You wanted to start with this one first. Why?
All right. The reason is because out of these three games, this is technically the second one that was released. However, it's a prequel to the first game because people do that, and it drives me crazy. So
we're going chronological on these.
Yes.
Gotcha.
They weren't released super far apart from each other. So if I'm remembering correctly anyways, because these were released some time ago on Steam. So they're not super different gameplay wise. So I didn't think it would be too bad to play this one first, just so we can further the story. So in this game, you are a stalker, which is an individual who goes into the exclusion zone of Chernobyl. The exclusion zone is the you don't go there zone, as dictated by the government. It is a real thing that exists, and you're not supposed to go in it. Stalkers are also real fall things that exist. They go in it any fucking way. very illegally, I might add.
Also illegal is the fact that we just got raided. The door was beaten down. We got raided. Seven people are here. They came for us.
Poor souls.
Welcome in, everyone. Fluff, thank you for the raid. Welcome in, everybody. We are talking about the new Stalker trilogy that released. We're talking about the second game in the trilogy, which is the first game chronologically. Clear Sky, Aki, keep on going. Tell us more about this.
Okay, so you're a stalker, and you're basically bringing this scientist group through this area that you know, and an emission happens. Emissions are these weird blow-ups of weather and the like, of mystical, radioactive, evil, bad energy, and it kills everyone but you. Somehow you end up getting tied to this shit, so all your reflexes, your strength, all that shit is increased significantly. However, it's also destroying your nerves, which will eventually kill you. So it is up to you to work with the people who found your unconscious body out in the exclusion zone, the group called Clear Skies. And they are there to basically figure out what's going on, because they have been researching all the anomalies that happen in the zone for years. And now that everything's being weird, weirder than normal anyways, they want your help to get to the bottom of it, because they think you're the only person who's going to be able to do so. So in this, it is a lot like Metro, not in gameplay, but in the style of game it is. So in this, you aren't just fighting people, you're also fighting mutated creatures, and there's some anomaly shit that you can kind of see on the screen. It is some circular wavy air, basically. And if you can't see it very well, like me, there's also a nice little handy tool of you can throw bolts into the air, like nuts and bolts, just a random piece of fucking metal. And when it hits one of these anomalies, it explodes and goes flying like a bullet. And if you touch these zones, you basically explode and get turned into a bullet. So you don't go into these zones, because it'll kill you. they're all invisible, so that's fun. So not only do you have to deal with the human enemies, who are various factions, there's the military is in here, there's a whole bunch of different types of bandits, there's also just some other different type of factions in here that are often trying to get things called artifacts out of here, which are just weird shit that's appeared since Chernobyl exploded that are super valuable. A lot of these places are trying to get that stuff out and sell it to the highest bidder because they can make buku bucks. So you get to deal with all these factions, but you also have to deal with lots of mutated animals and all these anomalies that are just fucking everywhere that you just have to avoid going into, basically. And yeah, This is an older style game, so you have a map in it. It shows you what direction you're facing. You can't place a marker anywhere on it, so you just have to figure out how to face the right area, constantly lowering and lifting the map to figure out to move just a little bit until you're pointing at the thing where you want to go, and then you just walk forward as best as you can to hopefully get to it. You do have a mini map. It doesn't have a lot of distance on it, you know, unlike lots of mini maps where it's like, oh, here's, you know, 100 meters around you. This one's like, oh, here's like 20 feet around you. It's like, this is a serious mini map here. The map does tell you basically where enemies are in real time and stuff. Not any of like the beasts, but like enemy factions and the such. It also tells you where allied factions are. You can pay to get information, intel that can lead you to caches that have random stuff in it, sometimes actual proper stuff in it, but usually it's random stuff, and you just have to hope that the money you spent was worth it. It usually isn't, at least in my experience so far. I've been shit kicked. There's like six or seven different areas you can explore. The first one is the swamps, where you will probably be stuck in for a good long while. Every map is decently sized, actually. They're not huge, huge maps. You can get from one end to the other in probably 10 minutes of walking. So it's a nice sized map. And there's all sorts of stuff just waiting to kill the shit out of you. Because you also have to deal with radiation that just spikes for no reason. I haven't figured out how to tell when you're getting hit with radiation. So it's not been going well for
fucking
me
just yeah!
killing over dead. but this game's really hard. So please do enjoy that. This is...
You know what else I enjoy?
Sure.
I enjoy hearing Bitties. Purnell's fucking yeah when we get a sub from Injury... Injury 19, thank you so much for the sub. Thank you for hanging out and keeping us company. Love having you here. Almost as much as I love hearing Aki talk about games.
In other words, you don't. Okay.
No.
I'm so sorry that you were just insulted like that. So, yeah, that's the gist of this game, is you're dealing with all these factions. You can choose to join some of them, or you can choose not to. There's achievements for both. For most of these groups, you are neutral, and you can, you know, become friendly or enemies with the groups. Usually every zone has two different groups, and you can ally with one or the other, or ignore both of them and stay neutral. Staying neutral has its benefits. You can get quests and items from both people when you're neutral. When one hates you, obviously, they're not going to be like, hey, yeah, you've been killing us. Would you like to buy some of our gear? No. They're going to look at you and shoot your ass. So there's that. There's multiple difficulties, all tied to achievements. And I chose the I'm a dumbass option. So I chose the hardest difficulty because...
Oh.
Yeah. Well, on Steam, the difficulty for this is weird. At least it was on Steam. I assume it's the same on the console version. But everything, when you make the game harder, it just increases the damage done, but it increases that across the board. So, like, let's say this enemy can kill you in 4 shots, and you can kill this enemy in 4 shots. Well, now they can kill you in 2, but you can also kill them in 2, so on and so forth. So, right. I'm assuming it still works that same way on the consoles, because I've been killing the shit out of things real easy. I just also get the shit cut out of me a lot. You do need the manual save in this. Please, for the love of God, remember to manual save. Don't be like me and lose like 4 or 5 hours because you keep forgetting to manual save.
No.
Please. Oh, I've done it so many times. Please remember to manual save. It is so fucking important.
So there's no auto save at all in the game?
It has them, but they're not what I would classify as
good.
Remotely close to good.
Oh God!
You can spend hours between auto saves. I don't know what causes something to auto save because it's not going from one place to another.
That happened to me in 2 worlds. I had like 4 hours in the game, and it didn't give me any kind of auto save, and I forgot to manually save, and I did it all.
Yeah, yeah,
I did that. It hurt like so much.
Yeah, the first like 3 hours of the game that I've played was me getting to the swamps for the first time, playing through, dying, loading up the most recent save, because it's like, oh, cool, it's not that too far, but oh god, it's all the way back there. Okay, remember to save. Go like an hour and forget to fucking save a single time, die, go back, son of a bitch, remember to save, do it again and again. I did it so many times. It was so bad. I'm so not used to saving anymore.
It's a hard habit to get back into once you've gotten used to auto saves. Remember the first game that I played where I think it was Legend of K on the PS2, where it would auto save when you walked by the one pillar in the game. And that blew my mind that I didn't have to open up a menu and like manually save a game.
I can't even remember the first game that had good auto saves for me, because it's been so long ago. But yeah,
anyway, we're going to talk more about Stalker Trilogy in the coming weeks. Clear Sky clocks in at $20. What are your thoughts on it right now?
I think it's a pretty good value. This is not the longest of games, but it's also not a particularly short game. You can probably beat this in around 12 hours, would be my guess. At least on your first playthrough. If you've played this a bunch of times, you're going to beat a lot faster than that. But yeah, so I think it's definitely worth the value and the time you can spend in it. Just realize, if you don't like ball-breaking games, you're probably not going to like this, because this is a ball buster. So if you like those, I 100% suggest this. It is such a good series.
All right, moving on. Next game is Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons Remake, developed by Avant Garden, published by 505 Games, released March 5th on Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Got two brothers on an epic journey of discovery, loss, adventure, and mystery, remade for the latest generation of graphics, performance, and gameplay. Play in single-player mode or local co-op with a friend. This is one journey you will never forget. Bree and Aki, both of you played this. Bree, how about you start us off? What's going on in Brothers, Tale of Two Sons Remake?
Well, first I want to give a quick recap for anyone who somehow has not played or seen the original. It's a story that deals with some dark material and some mental health themes like grief. You control both characters together on different parts of the controller as you explore a somewhat Scandinavian fairy tale land in search of a cure for your dad. You control the big brother with the left side of your controller and the little brother on the right. And it's a fun challenge that makes you think about your next moves, and for some people just challenges your brain. It's a pretty linear story with lots of fun little things to explore along the way. The big question I've been hearing from a lot of people is, did we need a remake of this game? And my answer is no, but I loved that it happened anyway.
There.
I liked the excuse to return to a game that I've enjoyed playing through several times already. I played it on 360, I played it on Xbox One, and I probably played through multiple times on both of them, either because of missing achievements or just because I really like that game and I wanted to go back to it. And the best part about the remake is that it plays like my memory of the game, but with actually improved graphics. Like, I can go back and watch the old game and see where it isn't shot for shot, but it feels just like I remember. Some of the colors were maybe a little less warm while in pursuit of more realism in the graphics, but it captured nighttime and certain other things better. Like, there's a scene where you're dreaming and you see the mother, and it is absolutely stunningly beautiful in comparison to the original. The landscapes, when you sit on a bench and just take in the next section of the game you're about to go to, are so much more detailed and just amazing. Some features in the remake: it has some visual accessibility options like highlights and silhouettes, reducing screen shake and vibration, which I thought was good. It comes with a co-op mode where you can separate Big Brother and Little Brother onto different controllers. I did not try this because I didn't have a reason to, nor do I have another person to try it with. But I'm glad that it was included, one for general accessibility, because some people might need to be able to separate those controls to be able to function with it, but also because it might, you know, bring in some people to the game that haven't tried it previously, because they could play it alongside a friend or a loved one and share in the sad ending together. I think one of my favorite things of the bonus feature is that there is a commentary track video of the original game with Joseph Barris doing the commentary, and I think you can kind of tell that he's the one playing through the game, because at one point he's like fiddling around with this, it's not working, and we get to learn how he did a bunch of the voices and motion capture, and the made-up language they're using is based on Arabic, which is his language. Also learned from watching that we should just call the game Brothers with no subtitles, because it was stupid legal stuff that made him add A Tale of Two Sons, and he absolutely hated it. So we should just call the game Brothers, according to the creator of the game. Just call it Brothers, and that's what the game is. It's what the game's about. Now, I did hear that there were some issues that people had on Series S with some resolution dropping. I played this on Series X, and I did have like a couple moments where the game got fuzzy for a second, but overall, I didn't have any problems playing this on a Series X. It came across beautifully. Aki, did you have anything you wanted to...
I really like this game. I didn't realize it wasn't shot for shot, to be honest. Everything, as I was playing through it, I was like, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
just
that's
like you right. remember. Yeah.
Yes.
There's one scene realized. That I noticed in watching the playthrough of the original is the scene with the dog early on. The actual layout of the haystacks and the rocks is a little bit different. And that scene was it was noticeably different, but I couldn't have told you until I went back and looked at the original.
Interesting. It's
just how I remembered it.
Yeah. To me, there is in this game, there's one horrifying part, and it's the spider. I didn't know what they were going to do with that. And they definitely did something. And yes. Oh, yeah.
I knew it was coming, and it was so horrifying. I also when forgot Aki is entirely
a
lo-
is it a
do.
Loss for words? It's just, yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you know exactly what every one of those yes mean.
It's like Will Smith joined in to review a game. All right, fine. I thought it was a hilarious joke. Whatever.
I may have laughed if I understood it. I didn't get it. I'm sorry.
Lil Jon. You need Lil Jon in here. Yeah.
Sorry. That was a really dated joke. You know, the youths just don't get it today.
Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole.
But yeah, other than that, I thought it was really good. All the achievements that you remember from the original game are here, and you do the exact same things. Yeah. And they're very easy to do. So that works.
The extra achievements was actually another one of those things that Joseph Barris talks about in the commentary track. Is that's where I knew he was the one playing the game, is spinning the sheep. And he talked about how he really tried to create achievements that, encouraged you to explore the world that you could come across naturally, but made you kind of dive into the world just a tiny bit more. And the spinning sheep one, I guess he really loved that you could do that. And it was a secret that like not too many people figured out. And he was trying to get it to do it in the video, and he couldn't get the sheep to throw up. And he's like, well, anyway, it does this cool thing. And so I was just excited. That was one of the new achievements. And then the other one was for throwing like the ball in the hoop instead of just throwing it down the well. You have to plan ahead to do both in the same run through. But yeah.
Speaking of finding things naturally, welcome in Raiders. Horror Acolyte just raided us with a handful of folks. Welcome in, everybody. The Batman 208, love this. As soon as we raid in, we hear gaping buttholes. Jacob, thank you for your sound clip, your service.
You're welcome.
We are chatting about Brothers Remake. I was going to call it Brothers A Tale of Two Sons Remake, but I'm not allowed to. Joseph Barris will punch me in the throat. So Brothers Remake, it clocks in at $20. What do the two of you think about it?
Yes.
100% yes.
Yeah,
it's such a good, cute little game.
I thought the graphics improvement was great. If you've never had the opportunity to play it before, this is a great opportunity. I feel like it was a faithful recreation. And I think that if you have the opportunity to get a hold of this and you enjoyed the original, I think you will enjoy this remake as well.
Cool. Sounds good. All right, next game, Stunt Paradise, developed and published by Brain Media, releasing March 21st on Xbox One, Series X and S, Windows Store, Switch, Steam for $7.99. Get ready for an adrenaline-fueled ride in Stunt Paradise. Take on epic challenges, perform insane stunts, and experience extreme driving. Buckle up and play now. Jacob, tell us about your time with Stunt Paradise.
So, Stunt Paradise is a... it's not a driving game. It very much has the feeling of a mobile game. And with that, it's a fixed camera and you are driving a car and you don't really get to decide whether you're going to go left or right. All you really control is gas pretty much your gas, but whether you're going forward or going in reverse. And reverse normally doesn't seem like it would be that helpful. However, there are some puzzles where it's required to complete it. And also sometimes you can do fun shit like ram a cop car into a huge saw and then watch it get blown up. Other times it's necessary to keep the momentum going because your car will get flung backwards and then you have to go backwards up a ramp and then go off of that ramp and then hit another ramp, and the stunts are absolutely insane. And honestly, I thought this was going to be like some $5 shit shovelware game, and I had an absolute blast with it. I loved it. My kids loved it. It's just a constant
The thing I liked about it is it's like it's an adrenaline cinematic puzzle game,
right? And it absolutely is, because you'll have times where you have to you don't have to do anything because the game already decides you're gonna make it, but you have to jump train tracks at just the right time, or an 18 wheeler is coming at you and it flips over and of course you just barely scoot by, or you have to jump off of a cargo ship onto another cargo ship and then this rickety ass bridge. All of it is absolutely implausible. I especially love it in later levels where you can get grabbed by a shark. it's a ton of fun. It's challenging to a degree. I mean, it's not the most challenging game out there. The fun is really the big factor on this one. But there really isn't that much to complain about.
It's a very simple game when you cut it down to the basics. It's basically just accelerate and do flips and then just watch the scenery, and it's a fun little experience. It's not a super expensive game. Based on Brain Media's previous games, which were the zombie derby games, I was expecting a lot of grinding and replaying stages in this, and that's not there. The only replaying you gotta do is just figure out the stage.
And honestly, with replaying, I mean, you can do it so you can earn points to run around in other cars. But the thing is, the other cars really aren't that necessary. I did do some tests, and it seems like there is a slight speed difference with some of the more expensive cars. But honestly, you could still get just about everything accomplished, even with your beginner car. I'm really enjoying it.
Well, it clocks in at $8. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, totally get it. This is a fun little game. I definitely recommend checking this one out.
Oh, my cat just destroyed the litter box in here. Oh, my God. It is bad. Oh. I can fucking taste this one. Jesus. Oh my God.
Wait, what are you tasting?
My cat just took a crap and it just, you could taste it in the air. Oh, Next game to talk about is Reveil, developed by Pixel Split, published by Daedalic Entertainment, released March 6th on Series X and S, PS5, and PC for $19.99. Reveil is a narrative first-person psycho-thriller game that focuses on story, puzzles, and exploration. Find out what's going on inside Walter Thompson and what his dark past at the Nelson Brothers Circus has to do with it. Aki, tell us about your time with Reveil.
Okay, so you wake up with a splitting headache and take some pills because you're a pill popper and it's fantastic. Then you have to look around your house because you're like, hey, where's my wife and daughter? Time to go look and make sure they're okay. And everything just starts to get fucky wucky very, very quickly. You start walking around the house and you find, you know, there's a puzzle to get out of your room. Namely, you have to find the key, and to find that, you have to do a bunch of other shit in the room. And then you leave, and things are not where they should be. And by that, I don't mean, hey, my shoes aren't next to the front door like they should be. I mean, why is the kitchen here? This should be the living room. What the fuck's going on? So, with that, you slowly start to figure out, oh, hey, everything must be in this person's mind, or this place has gone fucky wucky through some time, space-time manipulation bullshit. Who knows? And you start to go through this man's parts of this man's past. So one room might, you know, be a room, and then you do something and turn around, and suddenly there's the outside on right behind you. This room now no longer opens up to the house. It opens up to a fucking forest. What? So you go around and your character starts to remember things about their past, as they are trying to find their daughter, basically. The game has some puzzles. They're not super hard. I think one of the harder ones is, you know, those, what are they? The little marble ball puzzles where, you know, you put it in the little maze and you have to tip the board a little bit so the marble doesn't fall into a hole.
Oh, that's one like, of those little wooden marble maze.
Yeah, that's like one of the hardest puzzles there are. That's the level of difficulty we're talking about. And it was a piss take. So, you know, throughout this, you go through these things and you figure out how to move on to the next area in each one of these tiny levels. There's a bunch of collectibles in each chapter. There's 5 chapters. You find little collectibles and they just give you a little bit more information about the guy and his life. And then things start to get really fucking weird. Well, more really fucking weird, I guess, technically. Weirder. Because when your daughter's bedroom, you walk into it and then you turn around, there's a fucking forest behind you instead of the house. That's pretty weird. But suddenly, like, you're walking through this colored doorway and suddenly you're in the room you were just in, but it's all dark and evil. Oh, and there's a crazy lady who's trying to kill you. So it gets a little weird. And there's a couple instances of that, and they're really just, you need to find this item without them being alerted to your presence and putting it where it belongs. Like, that's the difficulty we're talking about. It's a pretty basic, easy game to beat, thankfully. There's a big twist at the end. I'm not going to go through it because it really ruins everything, but yeah. It's a all first person, you know, it's not complicated controls. You can duck down, you can zoom in a little, you can pick things up and use them. They automatically get used where you're supposed to use them, so you don't have to fiddle with an inventory or anything, and you can run about, you know, at 1.05% faster than usual or something. It's not amazing. But yeah, it's a nice little interesting story, especially when you get to the end, you're like, oh shit. Cause that's where it's really at. They did the twists real well.
Well, the game clocks in at $20. There is also a Funhouse edition. It includes a soundtrack, an art book, and a camera filter and dev commentary pack. I don't believe that's available to buy on its own yet. Or no, the Funhouse pack is available for $10. The bundle is $26.99, so you're saving $3 if you get the bundle. What are your thoughts on the game and the DLC?
I don't consider the DLC particularly super worthwhile. If you like the music in it, then sure, maybe get the DLC. I think you said there was a soundtrack in there.
Yep.
otherwise, like, the camera filter, I think, is just a black and white filter.
Yep.
And there's so much fucking flashing shit in this, I would not suggest that to anyone, because even if you don't have seizures, that could still manage to provoke one. I just wouldn't bother with that. So I like the game. I think the game's worth it. The DLC is questionable to me. If it was like a dollar or two, sure. Otherwise, I think it's just a pass on the DLC. Yeah, I would just stick with the game. The game has a pretty good story, especially when it hits the end, because they did that twist just perfect.
Cool. Next up, Highwater, developed by Demagogue Studio, published by Rogue Games, released March 14th on Series X and S, Switch, PS5, and PC via Epic and Steam for $19.99. Earth is flooded and the planet is doomed, but there's still time to enjoy the view. Guide Nikos and friends through the flooded world of Highwater and beyond in the story-driven adventure game while they'll have to fight for their chance to escape. Bree, what are they escaping?
Goodness, that's a good question. After some climate change catastrophe goes on, there's floods everywhere, and we're talking about, like, you know, the level of billboards and sometimes entire buildings. You're just seeing like little caps of buildings stuck out. Nikos is trying to get to the core city to find out why aid has stopped abruptly, leaving people to fend for themselves in these flooded areas. And like the kinds of things that you're dealing with in this world, everyone's using boats for transportation. They have to figure out how to sanitize their water. We learn some of the story through pirate radio, some decent music, some indie stuff. And the songs themselves tell some of the story, or we have a DJ narrator giving little news stories about what's going on in the world. Pretty quickly, we see people are getting more and more barbaric as resources become scarce. And like any situation like this, I feel like there's going to be different factions. Who also have their own radio stations. I don't know that I got to hear any of that, but that reinforced those ideas. There's an insurgent group. There's people from the big city called Alphaville. They are Alphavillians. They are not very well liked by the people in the floodlands. Other parts of the story are told through collectible newspapers and books. But basically, you're going around in a little boat. You have a little outboard motor on it. And then there's swaths of land to explore, bits of building that are not sunk, rooftops that people live on. And that tells you some more of the story as you explore. You get to scavenge items like gas for your boat or things you can use in combat or trade with other flood world denizens. It has turn-based combat. There's a movement phase, and then there's different turn objectives. There is combat, but often it's more about solving the puzzle of the combat scenario than it is about straight-on attacks. So, like, Nico starts out with an oar, which you can imagine does not do a lot of damage. Eventually, you get other friends who have bigger, stronger weapons or are bigger and stronger themselves. You get a fishing rod that you can use to pull enemies off of cliffs or pull a pole out from underneath a makeshift roof to trap an enemy inside. It's like, it's about getting the victory, not necessarily about killing the enemy. And it's a quirky game with quirky characters that you meet or collect along the way. I missed some of the plot at one point, though. I had an emergency and looked away from the screen, and the characters kept on talking. So, because I didn't think to pause. So I learned that sometimes conversation pauses for you to press the A button, and sometimes it does not. I missed a little bit of story in there, and nothing too big, I don't feel, but just something to be mindful of, that you may need to pause. Things might move on without you if you're not paying attention. And the world felt really open, sometimes maybe too open. Like, part of the mood of the piece just hit me a little hard, that the world is in shambles, and it was hard to know where to go, even though I had a somewhat clear guide to my next location. Like, you get a HUD with like a gold... like, this is the direction you should go, but you can also stop and explore things along the way and find other places to stop, and it was a little confusing sometimes. The draw distance is pretty short, so the water felt like it went on forever, and I just got this hopeless feeling about life in that world, but also about the game. The game was fine, it just didn't capture me. I liked elements about the game, the concept of the world, but as a whole package, I found myself kind of bored and unable to really engage. And that's not to say that other people might not find more value in it than I did. I just really couldn't connect to it.
Well, it clocks in at $20. What are your thoughts on this one? Is it?
I think it is a great price for that. I would put it at a try it just because, like I said, I ended up getting kind of bored with it. I loved the combat concept. It just took a little while to really get myself through to the idea that you're trying to get victory, not necessarily kill all the enemies. I thought that was really cool. And when you finally figure out, like, oh, hey, if I throw this rock at this other thing, it will take out the enemies for me. That suddenly changed the entire combat. And I thought the combat was really neat. Again, the game was fine. It was, you know, it worked as intended. It had a lot of interesting elements to it. It just didn't capture me. So I would put it at a try it.
Cool. Sounds good. Next game, Match Village, developed by Rising Moon, published by Cubite Interactive, released March 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $4.99. Match Village is a minimalistic puzzle and strategy experience about combining buildings to build villages on beautiful, procedurally generated islands. Combine buildings to create your villages and cities on endless islands scattered around the world. Enjoy a minimalistic and relaxing atmosphere. No resource management or armies, just focus on building. Jacob and Bree, both you played this one. Jacob, how about you start off? What is Match Village?
I mean, Match Village is pretty much what you just described it as. It's just this like little puzzle game where you have to match up like three or more of these little hexagonal tiles and just build up your city on each of these maps. Like, it's pretty chill.
$5. What's your verdict? No.
Like, I mean, it's
close chill, to that, really. It is.
It's not like, honestly, I thought this was going to be like some sort of like weird, like Sim City meets like Catan or something like that, but it's not. It's just, you're building up, like, you're combining like similar tiles, and you're just building up your area as you see fit. Like,
yeah, I could compare it to something like Townscaper, but also not.
I'm not familiar with Townscaper, so.
It was a very chill building game that was on Game Pass. I don't know if it still is. I think it left, but you kind of smoosh buildings together, and they make bigger buildings and taller buildings and so on. So there was similar concepts there. It also kind of reminded me of Subara, maybe, is what I'm thinking of. And you're smooshing buildings together, and you try and get, like, you know, five of a different kind together, and it creates a skyscraper. And so it kind of reminded me of a couple of different games.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's fine. I mean, if anything, it's a nice, relaxing, like, you know, you can pick it up, you know, you can pick it up, like, complete one, you know, mess around with one island and then put it back down and then come back to it, like, a couple of days later. And it's, you just don't really have to worry about anything.
It's fairly addictive, like, too. It's a game that you can just pick up and play a few rounds and be like, you know what, I could do better this time, one more.
Yeah, and I like that you can go after a while. You build up this little meter on the bottom right hand corner of how many points you've got, and if you do that before you run out of tiles, because if you run out of tiles, it's game over for that round. You get to try again, but you do what's called an explore, and you go and explore, or maybe it's called something else, but you're an expedition, maybe, I think was the term they used. But you get to move on to a new map. And you take the tiles with you, and you build up your points all over again, and then you get new types of buildings as you get to new terrain, which I just thought was a really cool way to explore the environment.
Very cool. Well, it clocks in at $5. What do the two of you think of this one?
Yep.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it's not the greatest game I ever played, but I mean, like, still, I mean, at $5, you know, it's
a chill little strategy game.
At minimum, it's like, it's worth a try, but I'd recommend getting it for $5. Yeah,
absolutely.
I can agree with that. Now, you mentioned Townscaper. It's actually on sale right now for $2.74.
I was going to say, the other thing that that, you know, I wanted to point out is that the same developers, Rising Moon Games, made Railway Islands, which is a hex game with little railroad pieces on it, and that was a really chill game as well that I enjoyed. So similar sort of style, similar price point, So yeah.
Cool. Very good. All right. Next game to talk about, Top Racer Collection, developed by Pico Interactive and Cubite Interactive, published by Cubite Interactive in Bleem, released March 6th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $19.99. Top Racer Collection brings back the 90s classics in one incredible package, bringing together three iconic games from the renowned racing franchise. With online features, get up to speed and experience the nostalgic mix of action and adventure. And it made it so close to doing an intro without screwing up.
Yeah, well, you're on this show. It's okay.
Addictive gameplay. Jacob, what is Top Racer Collection?
So Top Racer, which some folks may remember it as a game series called Top Gear back in the day. I'm going to assume that was changed for, you know, legal reasons.
From what I read, I think Top Racer was the Japanese name and they changed it for America. And then they just kept the Japanese name this time around. But it might be legalities, too.
Well, I mean, at this point, now that Top Gear is like an internationally known brand, it might be. these were games made back somewhere in the 90s, and you are going to be looking at graphics that are, you know, Super Nintendo ish and what that means is that you are going to be these racer games are going to be using a lot of sprites instead of actual 3D models, although I'm still out on trying to figure out whether Top Racer 2 was messing with the 3D model or if that was just a very insanely detailed sprite, like series of sprites that they would use. But
I'm guessing everything was sprite work back then. 3D models were still really early.
I mean, I'm going to research more on it later, but essentially these are very arcadey racy games. You're definitely not doing a simulation with these. And the point of it is that you're trying to place at least in the top four, so you can advance to the next race. And as you're doing this, you're collecting points and you can watch your name go up and down the leaderboard. However, if you don't place in the top four, you will not qualify for the next round. So, you know, you're always going to have to either like do it again or, you know, just, you know, sit and suffer alone in your silence. Yeah. With the first game, you're able to mess with your engine and soup it up and, you know, hopefully do better on certain tracks and stuff like that. When you get into Top Gear or Top Racer 2, and Top Racer 3000, that's when you can start messing with all sorts of aspects with the car, like what kind of engine you're using, what kind of tires. Top Racer 3000 also brings in this weird sci-fi element, which sounds like it's trying to be like the Mortal Kombat tournament of car racing. I don't know.
Let's go through the games quick. There's Top Racer, which was a 1992 game, has four different cars and 32 tracks. What sets that one apart from the rest? Or is it just like, this is the intro, this is what you get?
So pretty much there's very limited customization in that game. And the tracks generally look the same. I thought they had some neat ideas of even doing like nighttime races. However, the nighttime races are also really difficult to see and they're a pain in the butt. I mean, it's pretty much the introduction for it. Top Racer 2.
Top Racer 2 is from 93, also on the SNES. There's 64 tracks in this one. I see the blur mentions that you manage damage in this one.
Yeah, because your car does, you know, it does get damaged. And sometimes you will need to do pit stops, which, you know, will, you know, refill your gas tank. And I guess it repairs your car at the same time. I'm not totally sure, but what I thought was pretty neat is that you can pull out of the pit stop at any point in time. It's like you don't have to wait till your gas tank's full.
These bitches.
Well, because I went, there was one race where I was going from like third to 12th because I had to do a pit stop. And so I was like, you know what? My quarter, I've got three fourths of a tank full and I've only got like two laps left. Let's go. Like, boom. And right out the gate I went. So I thought that was kind of neat because most of the racing games I've played, you actually had to wait.
Yeah.
But what I thought was really cool is how they would make your car do these like kind of jumps when you went over a hill, or what I thought was really cool is like when your car got hit too bad, the car would do this like kind of flip animation. And that's where I was like, I don't know if this is 3D, like very early 3D, or it's just somebody making like a ton of sprite models, like conceivably catch it at like every single angle of this rotation animation. But it was actually pretty cool. Now there is like a camera difference between Top Racer 1 and Top Racer 2 and 3000. Top Racer 1 is more of a behind but also up distance that you would see, like it's more so over the shoulder, like if you want to think about it in like shooter terms. It's definitely like it's more of a over the shoulder look. Meanwhile, 2000 or 2 and 3000, both of those do like you're just right behind the car, and that camera is not as good in my opinion. It made the environments a lot harder to see, and it required a lot of memorization of the tracks, which I wasn't as big of a fan of. And then you get to Top Racer 3000, which is this weird one in the bunch.
That one's from 2 years after, from 95. And that one has 47 different tracks.
And they're set on different planets because even though all of the universe, our galaxy. So essentially what happens is that every 1,000 years, all the top racers in the galaxy meet up, and they like, and you have to do this huge slog of a race course on all these different planets, and they all have like different environments, and they'll have different like each one's unique. With everything. So it's like this one, it might be a really rainy planet, or this one has low oxygen, or like it's just they go through all this kind of stuff. And I just found it really odd that like the universe is really they really love this this racing event that uses old cars, because you'd think with everybody being futuristic and stuff like that, none of the cars would have wheels and they'd all have like anti-gravity stuff. And no, that's not to be found here. Apparently the whole universe is very adept at using Corvettes. It's an odd concept, and it very much feels like, whoa, what are the kids into? Well, they're that Mortal Kombat thing is big. Okay, great. We're going to make it a 1,000-year tournament for ruling of the racing universe. Okay, boss. We'll get right on that.
What is Crossroads? Top Racer Crossroads.
So Top Racer Crossroads is essentially from how Nintendo Life, because I played it and I didn't understand like what the difference was with it. Nintendo Life actually explained it in their thing. It is the first game with all they did is just mod the cars from Horizon Chase Turbo into the game as sprite based cars. And so they're like, it's the same game, just different cars. Which actually explains it, because I was like, these are all the same levels. I don't understand what I'm looking at. But yeah, so that's what it is. So in all reality, you're really just getting three car games, with one with extra skins.
Gotcha. All right. Well, the package is $20. What are your thoughts on this thing?
I think it's interesting. I wish that there had been more, like documentation provided with it. Like, I mean, you can view the manuals to the games, and it's okay, but like they don't have like any extra stuff. And I mean, we're now seeing a point in time where we're really getting hammered with a lot of these retro game series collections of like forgotten stuff. And it's just, yeah, it's cool that this stuff is available again, but like, I'd like some context with it too. You know,
like some flyers or maybe like some old commercials or
commercials, interviews, especially. I mean,
interviews might be hard to do because getting people together anymore is hard.
Well, that's true.
You can still find supplemental material that you can include in stuff like this. Boxes, well,
and that's true. But I mean, even with interviews and stuff like that, I mean, to go off the most cursed game in my video game collection now, thanks to the show, also, you know, aka last week's show, Plumbers Don't Wear Ties. There was like no, like, I think they only had two of the people from the actual game that they were able to interview, and they were the ones who talked, like in the game. Like they didn't actually work on, you know, making that PowerPoint presentation work. And so, like, what they did is that they interviewed people from limited run games, but also video game historians who could talk about it. And so it's just, I mean, that would be cool if, like, they had just brought in, like, some historians to just be like, all right, this is what Top Racer was. Like, these were the, like, why they decided to, like, you know, I mean, because that's one of the things I'd love to know about this. Why the sudden change with Top Racer 3000? Where did they get the idea that, yeah, kids are clamoring for this sci-fi racer? Like, was it because they felt like they had to compete against F-Zero, like, or and Star Fox and stuff like that? Like, was it Mortal Kombat inspired, oddly? Like, was it just, we need a new thing because, like, Cruisin' 64 is coming out and, like, our game looks like crap compared to it? Like, what was like, what, like, I'd love to know what the determination behind all that kind of stuff was. And it's just not there. And yeah, it's not something I can actually ding the collection on. It's just a little disappointing.
We have to be fair because Interactive, a small Brazilian indie publisher, is nowhere near the level of Limited Run or Digital Eclipse.
I know. But I'm just saying what I would have liked to have said first, like what I've liked to have seen in this.
Yeah.
But my only complaint about this game really is, I mean, it's nice that they give you a bunch of controller options of like how you want to control the game, and of course you could go in and make custom controls, which is good. But when you actually look at the control setups that Cubite decided, like, yeah, this is what people are going to want, none of them make sense at all. Like, literally none of them make sense. Like, most racing games nowadays use, you know, left and right triggers for gas and brake. And none of them use that. And you're allowed to set it with custom to do that, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, like, nothing was intuitive, and I ended up having to go into the settings and be like, oh, what? All these are fucked. Like, who chose this? Like, none of the three setups work for anyone who doesn't have little baby child hands. Okay. So, but yeah, as I said, I can't really knock it, especially because, like, they left it as, like, a, you know, you can customize it as you see fit, but it was like, okay. But yeah, so that being said, in all reality, you're getting three games for $20. If you're into retro racing games, yeah, it's definitely worth it. Otherwise, I'd recommend waiting for a sale.
That sounds like a solid try it in the end.
It's a solid try it, unless you're really a fan of the racing genre, but I'm not going to lie. This is a series that had its time in the sun, and, you know, we got stuff like Forza now. I would honestly say we have
stuff like Horizon Chase Turbo now, but that's basically where this came from. So
before you rudely interrupted me, that was actually what I was about to say.
I'm the host. I'm supposed to interrupt people.
Yeah, but you should also be nice about it. Anyway. But yeah, that's the thing. Like, honestly, I'd rather pick Horizon Chase Turbo over this game. So it's like, it's kind of difficult in that respect.
Right. Well, Aki, any thoughts on collections that you have liked, retro collections? How's things going with the Stalker collection, by the way? Are you enjoying that as a retro package collection?
I mean, yeah, I thoroughly enjoy these games though. So,
well, yeah, it's still a retro package compilation, and well, kind of, they're three separate releases. I don't know. Anyway, we got one final game to talk about tonight. That is Mediterranea Inferno, developed by iGuys, Lorenzo Radali, published by Santa Ragone, released March 5th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5 for $9.99. Three young men in their early 20s reconnect after 2 years of forced isolation, hoping to rekindle their friendship. Exceptional bond that made the trio truly special, mythological force well beyond the sum of its parts, or so they think. Jacob, what is Mediterranea Inferno?
So Mediterranea Inferno, first off, as a content warning, this could easily be considered to be an SML After Dark kind of thing. And there
well, in is that case,
SML After Dark.
Fucking yeah! Anyway, so in Mediterranea Inferno, there is, I mean, there's sex or like implied nudity or implied sexual activity, and there is also possibly implied sexual assault in there as well. Ooh. I'm not entirely sure. There is a warning that the game gives you at the start. I didn't run into that yet. But the thing is that this is a game that obviously requires more than one playthrough. And so I may just not have made those choices where that kind of stuff was revealed yet, but it's apparently in the game. There is also heavy drug use throughout. So,
yeah, so the game wears its M rating on its sleeve.
This is not a game for children, Aki, in case you're aware.
Which Aki's not allowed to watch your children anyway. So,
yeah, that's fair. Yeah. All right. So, so these three guy friends, who used to call themselves the Sun Boys, are meeting up 2 years after the COVID restrictions have been lifted, and they're finally all finding time to get back to seeing each other again. And they used to be heavily in the Italian fashion industry, whether I think with clothing designers, but also modeling and fashion influencer, being fashion influencers, that kind of stuff. And they're all meeting up together after not really seeing each other. And they used to like hang out with each other all the time. And they've all become different people. And it's now just like, they're all trying to figure out, where are we? Like, what, like, who have we become? What do we want to become? And like, what do we want out of life, really? And it is a fairly nuanced game that it's also one of the weirdest games too. There is a lot of heavy drug use, which lead to these things called mirages. And they are very psychedelic and trippy scenes that you have to navigate through. And it's a lot of investigating objects and talking to people and making dialogue choices. And it's very much in the visual novel vein, but the way certain things are done with what you're looking at, I'd even say that this is an interactive movie. It's without the actual movie. It's a weird thing to experience, and it's a very cinematic experience. It's just a very odd and surreal thing that and it's hard to describe it back to somebody, but like, especially with gameplay, because it's a lot of point and click, see what this does, make decisions, read the dialogue, and, you know, try to figure out the next thing. And the game does have, like, a very interesting system with that you're assigned points depending on, you know, what you decide to do, which is not an unusual thing for adventure games or from the 80s up till now, where you're assigned points for making certain choices. And what's really cool with that, and also frustrating at the same time, is that you and your two friends, you all have the money equally together. You're always pooling your money for these drugs, which are called fruits. And, you know, everyone, like, has to experience these things differently. And it, with each experience, one, you could actually screw over, like, one of the other friends by spending too much money, or points, I should say, which is really just the money to purchase stuff during your crazy drug trips. It's just one person may not get to experience stuff or get to do stuff like the other one did. And it's just really hard to navigate everything. I mean, it's not, when I say it's hard to navigate things, I don't mean like it's difficult in a bad way. But there's a lot of decision making that will lead to players needing to play this game through multiple times. It's a very, like, and I know, like, we make fun of, like, the use of unique on this show, but this is truly a very unique game. I've not played anything like this for the show. It is a bizarre game, and it's a very interesting game. It's not for everyone, but those who like visual novels and games that think outside the box for what a game can be or should be, I really think you should check this out. And I'm really glad that A, I requested this game for the podcast, and B, that nobody else requested it, so I got it.
Aki said she was interested, but she was worried about the visuals in the game fucking with her.
I think that is a very, you did the right thing. Although I believe that there is a setting to toggle that, but I'm not sure how effective that is with everything. Aki, I can look that up afterwards and get back to you on that one. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. I'm definitely going to be playing this one for a while.
Cool.
Also, again, there is a bunch of sexual stuff in there, so this is not a game to play around kids. Like, I am being full blown. I am very serious about this.
SML After Dark.
I hate you, Joe.
I could just play with the soundboard now if you want me to.
No, are we done recording? Like, wait, are we still recording or
yes,
what?
We're still recording.
Oh, I don't.
Did you hear me say goodbye yet?
No. Could you, though? Well, wait, I did just hear you say goodbye. You just said it.
But I didn't say it as in saying it.
Oh.
Yeah, so you know what?
Hey, go fuck yourself.
Oh, dang it.
Yeah. Aki, do you have any final words to end the show?
Don't choke on too many chodes, folks.
That's why we kept her around for this whole other segment.
Don't choke on too many toads.
Why chodes?
Toads, like frogs.
I was like, why is Aki swallowing frogs again?
Hey, I don't judge what she does.
I do, because I've had frog legs and they're not worth your time.
No, anyway, they really, really aren't. You are correct.
Thanks to the two of you for being here. Thanks to Bree for ducking out when she could, because it's not like we recorded this on two separate days. We would never do anything like that.
I thought we recorded it on three separate days.
But yeah, okay. It's not like I'm wasting my wedding anniversary with your stupid ass, Jake.
Oh, well, you're also wasting it with Aki's stupid ass.
Yeah. But she chose to join, so she's wasting it with us.
I chose to waste it with you too, to be fair.
You
didn't
choose to, you kinda had to.
No, I did. What were you gonna do? Drive down to where I live and then be like, oh Jacob, we gotta record right now.
Gonna hold the phone in front of your face and be like, talk into this. music. I don't know. Let's play something from Tiberian Sons. How's that?
You should play some Duran Duran.
No.
Why not?
Why?
See, you couldn't give a correct, or not a correct answer, but you couldn't even give a good answer for that.
Because I don't want a YouTube strike?
You should license it. See about using that $5 in our marketing fund and see if Duran Duran will bite. It's like, this is what we could afford. Hungry like the... Duran Duran, everybody! Her name is Re... Okay. We assume they're talking about Rihanna. I don't know.
This end sucks. I'm cutting it right here.